So about 30 years ago, my parents had a backup plan, and it was Libby Montana. So my dad had just finished his residency in Seattle, the surgery residency, which meant he'd spent about 6 years working for about nothing, 100-hour weeks, on call all the time, and then at the end of it, they kind of cut you loose, it's vaya con Dios, hope you find a job, goodbye. So he's got a mortgage, he's got 3 little kids, my mom's not working because, as I've learned, if you've got a little kid, you have to make more money than the childcare costs for it to actually pencil. So no money, my dad had been calling around trying to find a job because they didn't have enough money to drive anywhere and interview, and they're looking at Ontario and Idaho Falls and Twin Falls and, oh, fun places like La Grande. Nobody wants them because he doesn't have any experience. So at the end of it, the only option he's really had is Fairbanks, Alaska, and his buddy Rick, who is working in Libby, and called him and said, hey, we need a surgeon down here. Why don't you come on down? So they're always saying, well, there's always Libby. There's always Libby. If nothing else works, there's always Libby. So when it came down to just Fairbanks, and the best thing the people in Fairbanks could come up with to try and lure them there was a picture of one kid shooting hoops in kind of an empty basketball court in somebody's vacant lot. They're like, oh, Fairbanks, we've got a basketball hoop here. So they decided they'd head out to Libby. So they loaded us 3 kids up in the Dodge Colt, which you had to start by shorting out a couple wires with this little screwdriver, and headed for Libby. And on the way, they passed through Sandpoint over the Long Bridge and thought it was really pretty and a nice town, but it would be obviously chock full of surgeons because it was so nice, and kept going to Libby, which nobody knew was a super fun site at the time, but it was, you could tell it was kind of grim because it's kind of dusty all the time from the vermiculite mines and everybody's got mine tailings to make, you know, driveway pavings with and that. So they get there, and it turns out there's not actually a job. There's one crusty old surgeon in Libby. He has no idea they're coming, and he has no intention of taking on a partner or, indeed, any competition. But Dad's buddy Rick just didn't like the guy and thought it'd be a lot more fun working with my dad. So they're like, ooh, you know, not really sure. They don't have any money. They don't want to start a practice from scratch, especially not in the Superfund town. So they head back to Seattle in the Dodge Colt, and on the way, pass through Sandpoint again on the Long Bridge and decide to stop for the night. So they checked into a cheesy little motel by the city beach, which is no longer there. There's a bypass instead. And kind of went to the beach, really liked it. Lots of young families, really friendly. Altogether more wholesome than their neighborhood in Seattle, where they lived right down the street from Love Israel and the Love Family cult, who were, you know, nice people, but they were a cult. So, that night, while Mom is hanging out in the motel with the kids, Dad decides he's going to go check out the hospital and see if he can, you know, talk them into maybe giving him a job. So we're hanging out at the motel, and Dad goes down to the hospital. There's one surgeon in town, and he would actually be totally into taking on a partner. So he invites my dad out for drinks and dinner to kind of discuss the proposition. And in the meantime, Mom's back at the motel waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And she spends their last dollar on a hot dog at the City Beach Snack Shack. And she cuts it up into 3 little pieces and gives each of us kids a little piece and doesn't have any for herself because we're her kids. And meanwhile, drinks and dinner at the Garden, which at the time was the fancy restaurant in town, kind of turns on to more drinks in the lounge and more drinks in the lounge. At the end of the night, my dad has a job, but he's also been stiffed for the bill by Ed Gould, the surgeon in town. So he's like, ooh. And he fortunately has enough wiggle room on the MasterCard that he can indeed cover the tab. So he goes back, and you know, pretty soon we all move up to Sandpoint in the Dodge Colt with our cat. And they'd given the dog away to a friendly farm family where she could run. And to this day, I really hope that's true. But so we got there, and the first year was just really hard. My mom was crying all the time. They, you know, didn't make any money, because Ed Gould was charging my dad $1,000 a month to share in his office. And my dad now realized he's kind of being ripped off for 300 square feet in 1980. But no, at the time, he needed a job, he took it. And as a special treat, Ed Gould has allowed him to take all the call for the first 3 months that he lives there. And this will help him build up his practice. But really, it means for 3 months, anytime anybody, you know, busts an appendix or gets shot at Birch Place or gets shot at Roxy's or, you know, skis into a tree or stuffs something that they shouldn't up their bottom at 2 a.m, my dad has to go in and deal with it. But, you know, eventually he did build up a practice. There, Ed Gould took off to seek his fortune in Saudi Arabia. And for 10 years, my dad was the only surgeon in Bonner County and in Boundary County. And he also saw all the people in the eastern part of Montana that were closer to Sandpoint than anywhere big in Montana, like Libby. And, you know, kind of really built it up. And I'd say he probably became, you know, richer in goodwill than in actual cash, because he still, to this day, does a lot of bartering. And I think the best thing as a kid we ever got was a Rottweiler puppy. But, you know, he's happy. He now has two partners of his own and keeps saying that he'll retire someday. I don't know what he would do with his time. He likes being busy. And my mom, who, you know, kids were eventually old enough to take care of themselves, went back to teaching. She's retired now. They really have built up a life in Sandpoint, and it was a great place to grow up. My sisters and I ran cross country as Sandpoint Bulldogs, which is way better than being the Libby Loggers. Because the Libby Loggers were the team that Sandpoint Bulldogs would import whenever they really needed to win something. So they'd, even though they were actually in a lower level than we were, but we could beat them. And we were not running condoms, which would be the Troy Trojans right down the road. So, you know, Sandpoint Bulldogs, pretty good. And so it's really my parents' story, but it's mine too, because I got to grow up in a really nice town, great, friendly people for the most part, you know, some loonies, but where aren't there any? And it kind of helped shape me, because I ended up becoming a veterinarian. I really liked medicine, but the only time I ever got to see my dad was if I was taking around with him when he was making rounds in the hospital. You know, when we were kids, if my mom was sick, we'd be kind of plunked down in the ER waiting room with a bunch of quarters for the coin-op TV, you know. And I thought, well, if I become a veterinarian, then I'll have all the fun of medicine and surgery, but there won't be the stress and the horrible hours and the crazy people, which turns out to be wrong. There's, I mean, it's horrible hours. I'm trying to ameliorate that by taking this little munchkin to work with me most of the time so he can, you know, watch me spay. It's stressful. I haven't learned to say, no, I'm not coming in for that. The crazy people are just on the other end of a leash. And it just doesn't pay as well, but, you know, what are you going to do? It's too late now. I like it. And I fear this is probably a short story, but I guess somebody else gets a little extra time, because it's all I got. Thank you.